In the Bible, in Luke 2, by now you probably should have this memorized. We've used it enough this season. We use it enough every year, but we've used it this season quite a bit. So Luke 2, verse 1, and hopefully if you haven't got it memorized, you'll have it memorized by the time we get through. So would you stand as we read God's Word? In Luke 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel, because before he was conceived in the womb. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, this Christmas day that we celebrate. We understand that it's not the actual date of the birth of Christ, but it is the date that we celebrate. We thank you that you sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. I pray for families as they gather today, for people traveling. Father, as we see on the news and weather, folks stranded with flights, people in car accidents, snow whiteouts, blizzards, lots of things going on this holiday season. As people are trying to be with family, and I pray that you'd watch over them and keep them safe. Be with our own congregation here, Father, as some of us travel after this service, or family travels in to be with us, whatever, just bless. But may we mainly always remember the reason for the season. Now forgive us, guide us, direct us, hide me behind the cross. Speak through me the words that need to be spoken, Father. May it be your message and not mine. And Father, I pray that you'd take the message to the hearts and lives of individual. Again, thank you for Christmas season. Bless us as we celebrate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever asked yourself, what are we supposed to do with Christmas? What are we supposed to do with Christmas? We have Christmas, which we as Christians celebrate as the birthday of Christ. The world commercializes Christmas, so it becomes something else. And therefore, it's gifts, and it's Santa Claus, and white Christmas, and I'll have a blue Christmas, and all of that kind of thing. And so what do we do with Christmas? There are people that say it began as a pagan holiday, as the trappings from a pagan holiday. So therefore, we shouldn't even celebrate Christmas at all. We should just throw it aside and forget it and not have anything to do with it. Do we forget about Christmas and just give it to the world? Do we tone it down and not make a great deal out of it? Or do we celebrate the birthday of the King in style? I'll be the first to admit to you that the Bible does not tell us the day that Jesus was born. We don't know that it was December 25th. In fact, it probably wasn't December the 25th. It was probably at another time of the year. It is a date that has been chosen to celebrate because we don't know. And you could ask yourself the question, why doesn't the Bible tell us? Why do we not know? Well, I think for one thing, if we knew what the day of Christmas was, we not only would just have it as a day that we would worship and that, we would try to make it into some kind of an idol or something that we would worship as a day, as an idol, rather than worshiping the Savior of the world. Also, the birth of Jesus Christ is very important to us, but even beyond that is the death, the burial, the resurrection. But even beyond that is Jesus came one time and Jesus is coming again. And we don't need to forget that. Now, the word Christmas does not appear in the Bible. The date of the birth is not in the Bible. Some people have studied and believe that it's related to the Jewish festival of lights in which Jesus was born. So they would see it as maybe sometime around September or something like that. There's no proof of that, but there's some people that believe that. It is associated by many people with the Roman holiday of Saturnalia, which celebrated the births of several Roman gods. Christmas, the Mass of Christ, or Christ Mass, sometimes called Xmas, because in Greek, the first letter in the name of Christ is X. Now, I don't like Xmas because it looks to me like you have struck Christ out. But if a person is doing it correctly in the Greek, it is literally the first initial of the name of Christ. And so, therefore, there's nothing pagan or wrong with it as long as it's used right. But I like the idea of saying it is Christ Mass, or the Mass of Christ, as they would have said. It was not celebrated by the early church. In fact, if you read in the early church writings and as the church was started, I'm talking about the early apostles and so forth, what did they talk about? They talked about the death of Jesus and the burial and the resurrection. They did not center on just the birth because they knew what he came to do. It pretty much was ignored for a while. It was not one of the earliest traditions in the Catholic Church, but around 200 AD, several masses were started in various places around the Holy Land and near the Holy Land. Some had dramatic presentations, some had the nativity, and different things. As early as the 4th century, hymns and carols became a part of these dramatic events. In 1223, Francis of Assisi presented the nativity in the form of a crib or creche, as we see today. Elements of various pagan celebrations that took place around the month of January gradually became a part of Christmas celebrations, including gift giving, the Christmas tree, greeting cards, and the Yule log. Visits from St. Nicholas were based on other holidays and practices performed in various cultures around the world, and actually came out of a religious thing, the idea of St. Nicholas. Over time, Christmas became a major feast day with special foods that people didn't eat during the rest of the year, like mincemeat and goose and hot mulled spirits. Other saints' days also became associated with Christmas. During the time of the Western settlement, the pilgrims believed the celebration was too rooted in paganism, and they outlawed the observance of Christmas-related practices. If you think back to how Christmas actually began, in ancient pagan times, the last day of the winter in the northern hemisphere was celebrated as the night that the great mother goddess gives birth to the baby sun god. It is called Yule, the day a large log is added to the bonfire around which everyone would dance and sing to awaken the sun from its long winter sleep to prepare for spring and what was coming ahead. In Roman times, it became the celebrations honoring Saturnus, the harvest god, Mithras, the ancient god of light, a form of sun worship that had come to Rome from Syria a century before the cult of Sol Invictus. It announced the purpose of the pagan celebration, announced that winter would not last forever, that life continues. The sun is going to come out, so stay in a good spirit and have hope. The first day of winter in the northern hemisphere occurs between the 20th and 22nd of December. The Roman Saturnalia was between December 17 and 24. So eventually, December the 25th became the holiday that was celebrated. To avoid persecution during the Roman pagan festival, early Christians began to decorate their homes with Saturnalia holly. So they did it to appease their pagan neighbors. As Christians increased and their customs prevailed, the celebrations then moved to a more Christian observance. They decided they were not going to celebrate the pagan way, but they were going to move to Christian observance. However, the early church did not celebrate the birth of Christ in December until Telesporus, the second bishop of Rome, in 125 AD, declared the church service should be held during the time at this time to celebrate. Since no one knew when Christ was born, Nativity was held in September, again the Jewish Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. For over 300 years, people observed the birth of Christ on a variety of dates. In 274 AD, solstice fell on December the 25th, and the Roman Emperor Aurelian proclaimed the day as Natalis Solis Invicti, their festival of the birth of the invincible sun. In 320 AD, Pope Julius specified December 25th as the official date of the birth of Christ. In 325 AD, Constantine the Great, the first Christian Roman emperor, introduced Christmas as an immovable feast on December the 25th. He also introduced Sunday as a holy day and a new seven-day week, and introduced movable feast, Easter, and such. In 345 AD, Bishop Liberius of Rome officially ordered the members to celebrate the birth of Jesus on December the 25th. Even though Constantine officially declared December 25th as the birthday of Christ, Christians, recognizing that pagan festivals were the start of this, did not widely accept that tradition of the emperor's good intentions. In England, Oliver Cromwell banned Christmas festivities between 1649 and 1660 through blue laws, believing Christmas should be a solemn day, not one of merriment. When many Protestants escaped persecution by fleeing to the colonies all over the world, interest in joyous Christmas celebrations were rekindled. Christmas was not even a legal holiday until the 1800s. There was no Father Christmas and no Santa Claus at that time. The popularity of Christmas was spurred in 1820 by Washington Irving's book, The Keeping of Christmas at Bracebridge Hall. In 1834, Queen Victoria of Britain brought her German husband, Prince Albert, into Windsor Castle, introducing the tradition of the Christmas tree and carols that were held in Europe to the British Empire. A week before Christmas in 1834, Charles Dickens published A Christmas Carol, in which he wrote that Scrooge required Cratchit to work and that the U.S. Congress met on Christmas Day. It was so important that churches or governments could not ignore the importance of Christmas celebrations. In 1836, Alabama became the first state to declare Christmas a legal holiday. In 1837, T.H. Harvey's The Book of Christmas became a bestseller. In 1860, American illustrator Thomas Nast borrowed from the European stories about St. Nicholas to create Father Christmas, Santa Claus. In 1907, Oklahoma became the last U.S. state to declare Christmas a legal holiday. Year by year, countries all over the world came to recognize Christmas as the day of celebrating the birth of Christ. The first Christmas card in 1843 did not feature an image of Santa Claus. In 1870, Ulysses S. Grant proclaimed Christmas a federal holiday. Whenever you think of this, what does that say to you? The history I just gave you said that originally there was a pagan holiday that Christians basically had to participate in to get along. They decorated their homes, but eventually they said, enough's enough. We're not going to celebrate paganism. There is not a sun god. There is not a mother goddess that gives birth to the sun, but there is a savior of the world who came to be the light of the world. And we're going to celebrate And we're going to pick a date to celebrate. And we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What do we do when the world takes charge of some things? Do we just give it to them? For years, the cross has been a symbol of Christ and the church, but it's become a very popular ornament around people's necks and even rock and roll bands, big old crosses. People who have no interest in Christ, big old crosses. Do we just give up because there's some paganism in the world? Do we just because pagans celebrated a time when light had come into the world, let's give it to them and let's not tell them the real story? Or do we tell the real story? And as Christians, I believe that we tell the real story. When you don't have a date, what do? You have to make a date. You're not saying this is when it happened. You're saying this is when we celebrate. That is not unusual for us. If some of you have looked into your family history, you will find that probably some of your relatives some time ago were born and did not have a birth certificate or even know the date of their birth. So what we have done is created a day in which we've said we're going to celebrate Jesus Christ first coming into the world. Now what about the things that you see? Lights, stars, decorations, flowers, wreaths, bells, all the kinds of things that we see. Probably everybody out there in the world can say, oh, that's a pagan thing, that's a pagan thing, that's a pagan thing. One of the biggest things they've said is the Christmas tree is pagan. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But we give up oh so easily. Do you remember why Jesus came into the world? Jesus came into the world to dispel the darkness and bring light. Jesus came into the world to destroy sin and bring righteousness. Why should we not, as the followers of Jesus Christ, take something that was pagan and change it into something else and show what the true light of the world is? Let me talk with you a little bit about Christmas and the decoration. The ornaments that we have. You see ornaments everywhere at Christmas time. There are ornaments on the Christmas tree. Sometimes there are ornaments hanging like here. Ornaments all over the place. What is that all about? What does that mean? They are Christmas symbols. They are things that we have taken and made for a religious purpose. The original idea of the ornament wasn't a Santa Claus, or it wasn't a cold winter's night, but the original ornaments were made with religious themes on them. And so you had things like hope and love and things, carvings about Jesus Christ. So the ornaments were religious symbols to remind us. So you remember like the people wore the scriptures around their forehead and around their arms and their wrists? The ornaments at Christmas time were to remind people about Jesus, his attributes, and who he was. The Advent wreath that we have down here, it was brought in, and if you notice the Advent wreath, it has a circle of green. The circle of green is a continuous circle that does not end, and it indicates eternal life. It also represents the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. The candles there, the center one is the Christ candle, standing for the greatest light of all. The other candles are hope and joy and love and peace. Because Jesus came, and because Jesus is coming again, and because he is the central figure, we can have hope and joy and love and peace and eternal, everlasting life. Wreaths that you see in various places, again, a circle reminding us of never-ending life. Evergreen, which is evergreen, again, meaning eternal, if you would, the symbol of eternal life. It also, as we said, reminds us of the crown of thorns, because there was a circular crown that he wore. The garland that you have, the trappings that are around on trees or hanging out in the vestibule or wherever they might be, the garland, again, is green, is a symbol of eternal life. Some of that can be circular, but it is just a reminder again of the greenness. Remember, the pagan holiday was saying, we're coming out of winter, we're coming eventually into spring. The sun hasn't come out yet, but the sun's going to come out. And we're saying Jesus Christ came to give us life. The holly and the ivy that you see, prickly leaves, recognize to us and remember to us and remind us the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. The red berries of the holly and ivy remind us of the blood of the Savior and how he gave his life for us. The bitter bark reminds us of the drink that was offered to Jesus on the cross that was such a bitter drink. So we are reminded through all of these elements, and these come from the church, not from pagan things, and not from a commercialized society that said, hey, we're going to make a holiday and sell presents to everybody. This came from a group of religious people some years ago that started. Now, much of this has been changed and turned into something else, but that doesn't mean we should give up on it. How about the poinsettias? The poinsettias that we have. They are star-shaped red leaves. They remind us of the star that led the wise men. They are blood red, which reminds us of the death of Jesus Christ. But it also reminds of the babies that were killed. Remember when Herod was asked by the wise men about the baby Jesus, when they didn't come back, he ordered all the male children below 2 years of age to be killed. It reminds us of that blood. The crown for a king is the gold inside the leaf, as you see it. It reminds us that Jesus was the baby king, the Son of God. And below that is a bed of eternal green that reminds us once again of life itself, which is symbolized by greenery, and reminds us of the eternal life that God came to give us. We see a manger at Christmas time. It reminds us of Jesus' humble birth. He did not come to kings. He did not come to important people. But he was placed in a manger. The world did not recognize him when he came. But Jesus came as God in the flesh, the God-man, and as he came, he can relate to us. Jesus gets me. Jesus knows who I am, and Jesus knows what I'm going through, and he knows what it was like to have humble beginnings, and he also knew what it was like to be the Son of God. The manger reminds us of the humility. And the manger reminds us that God came to make his dwelling among men. How about the carols that we are singing? The Bible tells us that we're to sing. If you read in the Bible in the Old Testament, there are many cases when they sang. They sang when the covenant was brought to the temple. They sang at joyous occasions. There's a whole book dedicated called the Psalms, the music in our Bible. We are told to sing. We are told to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some people say we have singing because of the angels singing. No, because there's no record in the Bible that the angels sang at the birth of Christ. They spoke. There was a host of angels, but it never says they sang. But we sing because we are commanded to sing. We are commanded to be glad, and so therefore we make music. And again, music was important in the Psalms. Even all of the instruments that are listed in the Old Testament, Many of those instruments, you and I would say today, cymbals, loud clanging, all that kind of stuff, I don't want that in my worship. But God thought it was beautiful. We are to sing the carols. They were times of dedication of the temple that they provided music. The cedar tree, the Christmas tree that we use. The cedar tree was a tree of royalty. It pictured immortality. It was also used, if you look at the Old Testament, for rites of purification. It is a picture that Jesus Christ reigns forever and ever and ever, and we can have eternal life through him, and that he will purify our hearts. The tree lighting. We put lights on the Christmas tree. We put lights with candles. We put lights on some of our garland. We have lights everywhere at Christmas time. We have lots of lights. And why do we do that? Because the one who brings light into our darkness, healing to our brokenness, and peace to all who receive him. If the pagans were going to celebrate that the sun was being born and we were going to move into spring and summer, why should we not celebrate that this dark, sinful world saw the light of the Son of God and was transformed? It's a reminder of the life-giving cross of Christ, and that we always rejoice in the new life that shines in our hearts. Remember, I said the Christmas tree, it's adorned in lights. It was originally adorned in candles, and for some years it was. Of course, that's very dangerous. But it smells of the outdoors. It has that fragrance for us. And it became an important part. And then gifts were placed under the tree. The holly leaf, an evergreen symbol of eternal life and associated again with the crown of thorns. In the book of Isaiah, the glory of Lebanon will come to you, it says. And notice what it says in Isaiah 60, 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Does that sound to you like the Christmas tree is an evil thing or an idolatrous thing? God bless the trees. They were an honor of his creation. And he said that the glory of Lebanon, the glory of Lebanon, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, all of these would come to my sanctuary. Presents. Why do we give presents? We give presents because God gave us the greatest present of all, the gift of his Son. And then the wise men brought presents. And do you notice what they bring? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some of the most precious gifts you can ever give were given. I don't have a problem with people giving gifts to each other at Christmas time. I give gifts, children, family, and so forth. But you know, I think the most expensive gift we give ought to be to Jesus Christ at Christmas time. That's why when it comes to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, I want to give the best gift I can so that our missionaries continue to spread the light of God to the world. The candles. Light is a perfect metaphor for Christ. Love, hope, joy, and peace are lit around the Christ candle. Because of the Christ candle, we have love, hope, joy, peace. Each of those four are lit previous to Christmas Day in anticipation of his coming. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." That was a prophecy of Isaiah telling about the coming of the Messiah. How about bells? We have bells at Christmas time. Why in the world do we have bells? Well, do you realize how important bells are? We don't know it much today, but you know what used to happen all across this land many years ago? The church bells rang on Sunday morning. the church bells rang. It said, hey, we're in church. Hey, come and worship. Come and worship. The bells were very important. Bells heralded events of worldwide importance. They announced weddings and proclaimed the birth of royalty. They even remember the high priest wore bells on his garments. And you know why he did? For one thing, if he fell dead in there, they knew that because he wasn't moving around. But that wasn't the main purpose. The people could not enter the Holy of Holies. The priest, the high priest, had to enter for them. So they could stand outside the Holy of Holies, and do you know what they heard? The bell as the high priest moved around. He's in there interceding for us. He's putting the blood on the altar. He's doing all that God requires. The bells are a great part of Christmas because our great high priest came to put the blood on the altar for us, to call us to remember that this birth changed the world for all time. The birth of the Savior, the King, God's own Son. Why shouldn't we celebrate Christmas? I'm not celebrating a pagan holiday, and I'm not celebrating a commercialized holiday. I'm celebrating a day that the church designated that we recognize as the birthday of Jesus Christ. Well, you shouldn't do that, people say. Well, look at your federal calendar. What have we done to the birthdays of some of our presidents and most modern people? We don't celebrate on their birthday in many cases. What have we done? Made a federal holiday and celebrate another day. Why can we not make a day to celebrate the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I don't know about you. At Christmas, I want to have a great big birthday party for Jesus. Don't let the world take the practices. Jesus came to bring light into a dark world. If he can save a soul from sin, why can we not change sinful practices into religious ones? Is it really possible to get too elaborate when we celebrate the birthday of the King? I used to hear people say some time ago, well, they built a church, and you know what they did? They spent $1 million. Today, it's a lot more than that. That is so foolish that you would spend $1 million. Have you ever read the Old Testament? Do you realize how much the temple cost? And God ordered it. Can we get too elaborate when we're celebrating Jesus Christ? I don't think so. There isn't enough light out there. There aren't enough ornaments out there. I love to see the things of Christmas. And yes, maybe some people think it's overdone. But I believe that we're saying, happy birthday, Jesus. He is our Savior. He's the one who brought light into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. So we need to try to fill the world with light. As we think about that, you remember, those of you who were here last night, that we lit up the sanctuary. One light to another light to another light. If you've ever stood in a cave, and I have, and they turn off the lights and all of a sudden it's pitch black, and you can't see anything but darkness, and then the person who's guiding you finally lights a light, one single light. And you know what happens? Everybody's eyes go to that light. No matter how small it is, you go to the light. And then as you add more light and more light and more light, that's the way it's supposed to be in our world. We are to take the light of Jesus into a sinned, darkened world, if you would. And everybody should point to the light. Let me remind you of John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it, or in other words, did not envelop it or put it out. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. To those who were born not of flesh or blood, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Light is the perfect metaphor for Christ. One candle joined to another to dispel the darkness. You really can't have too much light. As we go out into a sin-darkened world, if you are born again, you have the light of life in your heart. The light of Christ. And your job is to share it with another person, and another person, and another person. And that's the only way this world is going to have light. We can give up and throw our hands in the air and say, the origins of Christmas in the early time came from a celebration of paganism, and then the church changed it. And we can say that isn't right, so let's just forget it. Let's not celebrate. Let's not have anything to do with it. We can see people commercialize religion today, and it's commercialized by many people. And we can say, I'm just going to give up on the church, and I'm going to give up on Jesus. Or we can go to the light and take his light into a lost and dying world. What do we do with Christmas? I'm going to celebrate it. I'm going to rejoice on the birthday of the King, and I'm going to tell others about it, and I'm going to tell people what it really means. And I'm going to receive the gift Jesus gave me and give that gift to as many people as I can. If our musicians will come, we're going to have our verses of invitation. As God speaks to your heart this morning, I don't know what's going on in your life, what your need is. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can know him. You can have eternal life. If you say, you know what, I've given up on Christmas. You know, a lot of people just given up on the church, period. Things aren't the way they should be. So they're just giving up on everything. If we give up on it all, what is the hope for the world? There's no hope left. Jesus is our only hope. He is the light of the world. So whenever you drive down the street and you see people with their decorations, whatever they are, and you see the light, remember that light is a picture of Jesus Christ. Maybe the folks who put it out didn't mean that, but that's what it means. Jesus, the light of the world, to bring light into our darkness. Would you stand as we sing? thank you for being here today, and a Merry Christmas to all of you. May God bless you richly. Why Christmas? What are we going to do with Christmas? I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I'm going to celebrate the birthday of the King. And I'm going to celebrate the fact that he came once, and he promised that he's coming again. And I am so grateful for that. Let's rejoice in that. So in everything that we do, may we represent the birthday of Jesus Christ. Again, Merry Christmas to all of you. Be safe wherever you go, whatever you do. May God bless. May God take care of you. And Jim, would you dismiss us, please? Joy to